Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And happy Throwback Thursday.
It's that time again, my friends.
And happy 70th anniversary. This is our 70th My Favorite Thing.
We've done 70 of these.
We have done 70 of these.
That's insane.
Right? Can you imagine?
That means that we, including our Monday podcasts where we interview somebody, we've done 140?
At least 140. Because you and I...
That's insane, Ron.
...have looked at each other with blank stares on our faces and then 140 of these.
Wow.
Wow.
That means that we have 100 and that means that combined our favorite things have been 140 favorite things.
We have 140 favorite things. Oh my gosh.
And I still think I'm going to run out, but I don't. I just keep liking more and more things.
Getting excited. Although I will say this, Kevin and I have talked about the fact that we might actually like repeat ourselves at some point. So I put together an Excel spreadsheet of things that we've done. And I look at some of the things that I'm like, "What? Like why do TV commercials with Broadway actors?
I know
Spotify.
I know.
I'm like, what?
You know, last week or 2 weeks ago was the Spotify, and I know that I'm like a little ashamed of it, but I'm still rocked every time I'm like, surely this obscure musical cannot be possibly on Spotify. And it is. And I'm completely rocked by it.
Your list is
I stand by it.
And you know, I don't know if you do this as well. Do you ever do Apple Music? It's Apple Music. You pay $9.99 a month.
So it's basically like Spotify.
It's just like Spotify. So and they have some amazing stuff on there, too.
I'm impressed.
But I'm so happy that it's available to all the listeners.
I agree.
Including, you know, ourselves, which is amazing. I must apologize first because I'm still hoarse. We had Robbie Rizel on last week, and I am still laughing at him. There was things we cut out a lot, and there's things that we said after we got done that are still... I can't.
He's a riot. And here's the thing that I never really realized about him is that he really had my dream job as a kid. Like, I wanted to produce Broadway, not produce, but be a part of cast albums. And he literally makes them for a living.
But you're on two of them. Right?
Yeah. No, yeah. I was in the Little Night Music one. And then I was music supervisor for the newest Marvelous Wonderettes cast album that came out last year.
Mazel Tov.
Yeah. Dream on, Rob. Dream on.
You mean dream on about me having that's my own Broadway record?
Or no, that? No, that is the title of that Marvelous Wonderettes album.
My album is selling pretty well. The Madman of the Upper West Side.
Madman of Harlem.
It's me and
I love it.
Phyllis Newman. I sing and then Phyllis goes, would you let me out now, please? Like, no, Phyllis.
Oh, gosh.
Sing Subways Are for Sleeping. I just can't wait to. I see you with clothes on.
Thank you
that's
for that.
That's for sleeping.
That's on Spotify.
That's speaking of things that are on, what is on your list for this week's favorite thing?
I am really excited about this one.
We're going to try to get to these a little faster because I asked somebody recently, I'm like, what do you think of our favorite things last week? And they're like, oh, yeah. They're like, well, you talked for 40 minutes and then you mentioned the favorite thing at the end. I was like, okay.
I had mixed results. I
think I'm sorry.
Someone else said that to me. They're like, yeah, it was great. You guys went off on a couple tangents, but I was like, us?
No.
Tangents? Please. I don't know what you're talking about.
Every word we say is from the word of God.
Well, I've had some. I was away for a little bit, and so now I'm back, and it's fun to record these again, and I've done my research, and I'm actually very excited about this one. This is a really random one, though.
But that makes it sound like you don't do research. Kevin always comes prepared with little note cards.
I do. I have my little yellow note card. But when we haven't done these for 6 weeks, it gives me more time. And I was away doing a gig.
Oh,
so I had
yeah,
lots of downtime. Yeah. So I went down the YouTube rabbit hole. Like, I mean.
Oh, amazing.
Like no one's business.
Okay, great.
But this is one that has been with me since college. One of the staff accompanists at Baldwin Wallace College, now university, she put me onto this Australian film. However, I would like to feature this as the soundtrack. So this is my, other than Rio that I did months ago, This is my second soundtrack. Because, you know, listeners, as you know, we do not call a Broadway recording a soundtrack. We call that an original cast recording. But if it's from a movie, it's a soundtrack. So this is a soundtrack from an Australian film from 1998. If you've heard of it, I will be rocked. I will tell you that the director of this film, his name is one Stephen Elliott, who directed Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Rod Taylor starred in this. Oh. And Rod Taylor is an old Australian actor who was in lots and lots of movies. It is a wacky, weird, messed up film.
I know it. It's from Australia. Right? Yeah,
that's right.
Good eye, mate. The musical.
Good eye, mate. No, but it is such an Australian title. Are you ready? Welcome to Whoop Whoop. Welcome to Whoop Whoop.
Okay, here's what I think is now happening. You make things up and you go home and you laugh with your wife and go, boy, Rob is so stupid he fell for another one. This one was called Welcome to Whoop Whoop.
Yeah, Whoop Whoop, W-O-O-P, W-O-O-P. A film.
You anti-Semitic bastard.
And I haven't even told you the plot. You don't even know. So Whoop Whoop is actually an Australian phrase for a town that's off the map. That's a village that is not on the map, that's lost in like the middle of nowhere.
So where we would say like buttfuck Egypt.
Exactly.
Whoop whoop sounds nicer.
So you say potato, I say whoop whoop. And so we actually really are laughing. That's funny.
It sounds like a bad community theater play. You say potato, I say whoop whoop. Starring Karen Morrow at the Doolittle like Theater.
The nursing home production. You say potato, I say whoop whoop. Put Alma back in her room. So this is
crank a gramophone.
Wait till I haven't even gotten to the good stuff. This movie is about an American man who is a smuggler of birds who goes to Australia to do his smuggling. And on his journeys, he meets a girl, as he's traveling in his van. They seduce each other. They have a little courtship.
How old is this girl?
She's like probably, you know, I'm sure she's like 20 or 21.
Oh, thank
God.
He's
like 20, 21. And they like, and it's like a pretty like raunchy sex scene actually in the van. But that's not the point of the movie. The point of the movie is that she knocks him out, kidnaps him. She kidnaps him and brings him to her town. Whoop whoop. Which is off the map. No one's heard of. Why has no one heard of this town? Because this town is run by Rod Taylor's character, and it's basically a town that time forgot, and it's basically authoritarian rule, which masquerades as trying to like benefit everybody, but he runs everything in this town. They stopped, like at some point when they had some connection to society, they knew about Rodgers and Hammerstein, and the town worships Rodgers and Hammerstein. In fact, they play Rodgers and Hammerstein cast recordings on a loop over the loudspeaker in their desert town constantly 24 hours a day. So you're always hearing, and this movie got permission. I was going to email Ted Chapin, who is runs the Rodgers and Hammerstein organization, and I just didn't get to it, but I want to ask him, because I remember at the time that they got special permission from the Rodgers and Hammerstein organization in the late 90s when they weren't giving away rights to this. So the reason why I want to feature the soundtrack is because the soundtrack has about 10 or 11 songs on it that are mostly Rodgers and Hammerstein songs. However, these songs were all remade. So I'm going to give you an example. What do you have? You have Nothing Like a Dame, but it's done and reimagined by a ska band called Real Big Fish. So it's like, there is nothing like a dame, nothing in the world. Like a wacky, weird version of Nothing Like a Dame. Or
Welcome to
I Can't Say No. By a woman named Poe, P-O-E, which is a grunge, sexy rock version. And they reimagine the song. It's still like the standard, like it's not the arrangement, but it's the same tempo, the same melody. And she's like this sexed up woman singing it. Like, I'm just a girl who... But at the end of it, they like make it like an orgasmic thing. So she's like, the song she sings.
Are you going to orgasm on my song?
Say no, no, yes, yes. So by the end of the song, she says yes.
I have never even heard of this movie.
It is. So when I was in college, this staff accompanist, I stayed at her house with my girlfriend at the time, Trista, and we painted her house and listened to this wacky, messed up recording. But it's actually really fun. Another song, Well, Boy George does the title song, the Welcome to Whoop Whoop. But there's a Bally High that's an electronic music version of Bally High. Then I think you will know the last song on it. If you've ever been to a club that plays show tunes, they often like to play that Peggy Wood singing Climb Every Mountain, but Junior Vasquez remixed it. So she's like, climb, climb, climb. Yes. You know, and there's like a beat that was made for this movie.
First time I heard that, I thought I was having a mini stroke.
It is. I will play these when we, you know, as the week on Twitter, I'll find all this stuff because it actually is really hard to find this soundtrack. And then there's one other one. There's like a gospel performance of You'll Never Walk Alone that is a little pitchy. I'm just going to tell you that right now, everybody. That she, when she gets to the end, you'll never walk alone, you'll never. But it's kind of entertaining to hear her really try to reach for it. It's a weird, campy, messed up, dark. And the movie is like, if you can get your hands on this movie, it's like, it's messed up. But it's actually strangely entertaining too. I think it has like a 28% rating on like Rotten Tomatoes. It's bad. But the Rodgers and Hammerstein camp factor, the fact that they worship them, it's just too many weird things together that you thought, how in the world did someone think to put this together in 1998? And for some reason, I know about it. And Robbie, when I showed him my thing, he was like, that's on my phone right now. I have the soundtrack.
This is incredible. I never even heard of this.
So welcome to Whoop Whoop.
You got Rob, me, my friend.
Welcome.
Is it on iTunes or Netflix?
It is not on Spotify. It's on Amazon. You can buy the CD there. I would have.
What about the movie?
You know what? I don't know. I will look. I might maybe quickly look that up. Well, I do not think so. I think it's real. I think it's like out of print.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? One of those things. Because I believe I saw it on VHS.
Oh my gosh!
Because it was not a hit show, a movie. But it was just entertaining and weird enough, and relates to musical theater enough that I kind of took interest.
I think that's brilliant. Welcome to Whoop Whoop.
Yeah,
I love it.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to welcome you now to my favorite
What
thing.
Do you have?
Like that little segue?
Yeah, that was actually really... No, it's not on Netflix. It's what on, do you have?
Okay. It's a musical.
I love a musical.
And it was in 1979.
Ooh. Carmelina. No, that was earlier than that.
I'm a woman.
I actually really love the score to Carmelina.
I love the score to Carmelina too. Lerner, yeah. Alan J. Lerner.
Alan J. Lerner and Lane. Yeah, Burton Lane.
Carmelina, which is literally the same plot as Mamma Mia.
Exactly the same plot as Mamma Mia.
But stolen from a film called Buenos Aires, Mrs. Campbell.
Yes, that's right.
So it has a lineage.
Yes.
But Carmelina is not one of my favorite things this week, although ask me again in a few weeks. 1979, you brought up a really good point. You were just working on a show in Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's right, the one-woman show.
Which was a one-woman book show.
Original book musical.
And you said, are there any shows that are a book musical like that? And a listener reached out to us and said, possibly the new show, The Lion.
Are you kidding me?
That Ben Schur is doing?
But Rob, that's the same director who did my show.
Oh,
and
really?
The Lion premiered at Merrimack when they were going. That's the whole reason why we went to Merrimack, because he Sean Daniels, who is the artistic director at Merrimack, he directed that second, is that second stage, right? The Lion?
I don't know where
it was. In New York, and yeah. he directed that, and then it went on a tour, and he, yes. Oh, that, amazing. So that's the reason why he,
so, okay.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So The Lion, so I was doing research, though, before our listener was kind enough to say The Lion.
Thank you, listener, with The Lion. Good connection.
And it was just on our, they just sent it to us on our WordPress site, so they didn't leave an anonymous, it's anonymous, so we don't know who said it, so otherwise they give them the credit. I did some research. I found a one-woman show from 1979, and I said, I wonder if this is an original book musical. And it's not, because it is a book musical, except for the fact that the songs are pre-existing.
Mad Woman of Central Park?
I just mentioned it. The Mad Woman of Central Park West. Kevin, I have lost sleep over whether or not I should present this. I'm not joking.
Because isn't there a Bernstein song in it? And isn't there...
It's okay, so for our listeners who might not know...
It's the holy grail of cast recordings, I feel like, a little
like
bit.
Hard to find?
Yes.
On Apple Music.
God damn it. Nice. I'm going to look it up on Spotify right now.
But even better, this is why I want to send it to us tonight. So for those of us who don't know, The Mad Woman of Central Park West came out in 1979. It was a one-woman off-Broadway show that starred musical comedy heroine Phyllis Newman, mm-hmm. married to successful lyricist mm-hmm. and book writer Adolph Green of Comden and Green fame, had a lovely daughter by the name of Amanda Green, who we know as the lyricist of such things as High Fidelity, Hands on a Hard Body, et cetera, et cetera. And in the 1970s, after her Broadway career sort of settled down, Phyllis Newman was a staple on TV variety shows. So she would go on to like Merv Griffin and Johnny Carson and talk Amazing. For a little bit and then go sing and all that stuff. She was so famous on talk shows that even Andrea Martin would do impressions of Phyllis Newman on talk shows.
Wow.
So she was just sort of a staple.
Yeah.
But she wasn't satisfied because she's like, I'm just doing these talk shows. I'm not a Broadway actress anymore. And I'm not really Phyllis Newman, the Tony Award-winning actress who beat out Barbara Streisand, because that's a big claim to fame for her. She's like, I'm Amanda Green's mother. So I feel like I'm losing my identity. So she put together a one-woman show called The Mad Woman of Central Park West and did it off Broadway. Now, here we go. This is why I was torn about it. There is a recording of it, and the recording is fabulous because the recording is pre-existing songs. So we have Stephen Sondheim's song from Hotspot, Don't Laugh.
Oh. Wow.
Which he did not write. He gave it as a gift to Mary Rogers.
That's right. Right? And yeah, that's right.
We have Barry Manilow's Copacabana.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. I'd love to know the context of that one.
We have the title song, and I cannot figure out who wrote this, so if anybody knows, please tell me. This title song was called not the title song, but the main number was called My Mother Was a Fortune Teller. Hmm. The album is great, but great performances on PBS recorded the entire performance.
What?
And it is on YouTube.
Shut up.
So, Phyllis Newman, one-woman show, The Mad Woman of Central Park West is entirely on YouTube. Now, Kevin, why did I lose sleep over this?
Why,
because
Rob?
When I was doing research, the critic, John Simon, said that the show was, quote-unquote, above all, embarrassing. Because Phyllis Newman in the show plays an actress who is not named, who has barricaded herself in her bedroom and keeps telling her annoying daughter, stop bothering me, get away from me, I'm trying to figure out my life, stop being such a little jerk, I'm a mom, I need an identity, I'm not just your mother. And she talks all about her husband, who we don't see, who's a very famous lyricist and book writer and is much more intelligent than she is.
Wow.
It is so autobiographical. So here's the issue. The book was written by Arthur Lawrence, and it was directed by Arthur Lawrence. It is probably one of the worst books of a musical. It is embarrassingly bad.
The man who gave us one of the greatest books ever of a musical.
It's not Phyllis Newman. It's literally the book. The book, it's not her. This is because she's a wonderful actress. And she's up there with, and it's jokes about like, it's all 70s jokes. Like, I don't have enough Xanax for this. And then she sings like a really weird song called Cheerleader, which is all about how there was a happy little housewife who was a cheerleader to everybody. And she worked, and her husband works at, she does this cheer. She goes, give me an H, give me an R, give me an H, give me an R, H and R block, like stuff like that.
I had no idea, Rob.
My asshole literally went from this, it's an open circle now, to this, clenched as can be, because I'm so embarrassed for her. But here's why I think you should watch it.
Okay.
She knows how to put over a number in a style that nobody knows how to do anymore. So I'm actually making all of my students watch it, because one of the big issues that I have with a lot of, I'm going to sound like such an old man, one of the issues that I have with a lot of contemporary singing is that whenever a lyric is not being sung and it's just the music, the performer does nothing to justify why the music is even continuing on.
Totally.
So for example, if there's a triplet or a downbeat in the accompaniment, a lot of times young performers just sort of stand there. A lot of young performers don't even know what a button is at the end of a song. They don't know what to do with it.
Right.
What I think is so amazing about her performance is every single note is physically or emotionally justified in the music. And I mean, in her performance.
Yeah.
And so that's why I want people to watch it. But like I said, it is really one of the worst books of a musical I've ever seen in my entire life. She is great. That's why I literally lost sleep over this, because I didn't know how to present it. And I think you can listen to the recording doesn't do the justice to what I need you to see to understand why
I
she's
watch
so
it.
Good
oh,
at this.
I had no, I cannot believe I've never stumbled
and
across
And I want to ask Amanda Green and be like, this is so clearly you. She's literally the imaginary daughter that she's like, stop bothering
like
me.
Like the timing of it is
me.
Too perfect. I mean,
I'm like, that's like, you're an invisible character. Oh, and then there's a scene where she does like, I don't know if it's like group therapy. It's very 70s, like this group therapy thing. And the voice of her therapist who keeps going, what do you think, Dodo? What do you think, idiot, is Arthur Lawrence?
Oh, wow.
And none of the songs transition correctly in the book. So for example, she could sing like Copacabana and she'll do a 10-minute monologue about like cheese fries and be like, I love cheese fries and cheese fries are great and this. You know where you get good cheese fries? At the Copa. There's literally like no and it's although you know what works kind of well is Don't Laugh. Because what Don't Laugh is it's her saying, when I first started dating Adolph Green, I was really intimidated by him. And then I thought I would do better and I thought I would impress him. But I'm just not that kind of girl. Oh. And then she went into Don't Laugh, which is natural. Okay, the story you're building,
that's
the only time it works. And the song that she sings 90 times is called My Mother Was a Fortune Teller. It is literally, I think, the worst song I've ever heard in my life.
Who wrote it?
I don't know. Because every time I Google My Mother Was a Fortune Teller, I get like these weird autobiographies from people.
But like Miss Cleo.
My dear. What? Yeah, what was it?
She's like, call me, I'll tell you.
Your 50 card. Yes. 50 card, dear.
Don't call me.
That was my worst Jamaican accent. I hope you enjoyed it.
And she wasn't even Jamaican. It was a fake accent.
She was from Chicago.
Yeah.
And actually, is now going into Chicago as Roxy Hart. Get that
Mama
Weisler
Morton.
Celebrity casting
Ooh,
in there.
Yeah.
Barry, he told us he keeps
Barry.
An eye out for the talent.
He knows. Barry knows.
Barry knows. So anyway, like I said, I literally lost sleep over this because I didn't want to make fun of it. I don't want to be diminishing anything. I'd love to have her as a guest.
Well, it'd
some
be great to talk to her about it.
And ask her. What I need you to see is just the way she puts over a song is brilliant. And it's a style of acting that I don't think is around anymore. And I think it should be, because it makes the music actable.
The music's part of the story. Yeah.
But do you know what I'm talking about?
Like Liza does it a lot too. Liza will give you like a hit and a hit, you know, people, I suppose, you know,
So Liza Minnelli, Phyllis Newman, that's really what we're looking for.
Judy would sing that way too.
Judy Garland would sing that way. But I think Phyllis Newman does something really interesting and something really special. It also celebrates a musical theater performer who I feel not a lot of people know as much anymore.
I agree. It's like her worst fears happen, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because we have, I don't want to say forgotten her, but I think, like, I worry that a younger generation doesn't know.
I mean, a younger generation might know her because she's the Phyllis Newman Health Initiative for Women.
Oh,
which
indeed.
I mean, so they know, but they don't know, I think they might not know, she was an actress beforehand.
Right. Exactly.
And I would love to sit down and talk with her, but until I get the chance to do that, I'm going to sit here on YouTube and keep watching The Mad Woman of Central Park West, and then you're going to go home and watch.
Welcome to Whoop Whoop. Listen to the soundtrack if you don't want to watch the movie.
I want to watch the movie.
You do. You actually do. But the songs of the soundtrack are not in the movie. They were made specially.
I kind of want to get it tattooed over my ass.
Welcome to Whoop Whoop.
Is that okay?
A little tramp stamp.
That's
a little tramp.
It's actually the original title of the Mad Woman of Central Park West. Welcome to Whoop Whoop.
Well done.
Arthur Lawrence like, no, Dodo. I'm the best book writer there is. Okay, Arthur.
Yeah.
Whatever you say, Arthur. All right, till next time.
Bye, everyone.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.